Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Two very interesting guests for you this afternoon. We are talking all things nutrition, health, and beauty, of all things to bring to you on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. A couple of very interesting guests who I'm sure you're going to enjoy having a conversation with, who by necessity or desire have created niche industries. We'll talk more shortly. Good afternoon. Yes, we are talking cravings. It's 7 minutes past one. My sincere apologies to our newsreader, Jake Smithhurst. I did manage to create a bit of dead air. I was slightly distracted by my guests who are sitting in the studio. So apologies, Jake. My first guest, and I'm going to introduce her first, she is somebody who was studying architecture and now spends her time growing edible flowers to be consumed as part of food. Lauren, welcome to Cravings.
Thank you very much.
How does an architect start growing, or somebody interested in architecture, start growing edible flowers?
Well, I guess that they're both expressions of creativity and an interest.
One far more attractive than the other, you might say.
Oh, sometimes. Yeah, so I've always had an interest in gardening, love being outdoors. I've grown up in a small country town just out of Dalesford on a five-acre property.
You can give Glen Lyon a bit of a plug.
Glen
Lyon. I don't imagine it gets a big plug too often.
Yeah, so loved gardening and also around the Dalesford area. There's lots of lavender farms, and I've always liked those flavours in food, those flower flavours. So I bought a lot of lavender mustard and lavender honey and ate that a lot.
Rose water, orange blossom water.
Yeah, Turkish delight, those sorts of foods. Lots of floral flavours in desserts. And didn't think much of it until an opportunity arose when I was approached by Flowerdale Farm to grow edible flowers for just a handful of customers that were asking for them at the time. That was about 5 years ago.
And the rest, as they say?
So something started as a hobby and has now, grown into quite a demanding business.
My other guest is very brave to have hopped on a flight from the US to Australia. I'll talk about a little bit of history first. His name is Richard Laver. The name Laver is synonymous with Melbourne and synonymous with tennis. He himself was a tennis pro. He got on a plane at age 12, a plane crash which saw 123 people die. Richard Laver was a survivor of that plane crash and I believe had a pathological fear of flying for a very long time. Does that pathological fear still exist?
Well, first of all, g'day, Pete, and all the Australians and listeners out there. Yes. After you get in a commercial plane accident, you don't tend to feel safe flying for a lot of years. But when my daughter was born and needed to fly again, started to pray a little bit, and my fears went away. Somehow, I fly every week now.
We're not here to talk about flying in particular. I also want to introduce your wife.
Yep.
Whose name is
Michelle.
Michelle, thank you. Sorry, for just a second, I was about to say Kate, but Katie's your daughter.
Yeah, Katie's our daughter.
The reason you're here is because you own Kate Farms, which is its meal replacement, and there's a quite sad but hopeful story behind Kate Farms, which is about your daughter Kate, who was born with cerebral palsy. She's now 9.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yep.
At age 5, she weighed how much?
16 pounds. She was on various...
In our language, is about 8 kilos. That's a stone. Right? It's extraordinary.
Yeah, Kate was on about 10 medications and $75,000 in medical bills a year. And she was on 30 different formulas. And at the end of it, the doctors were just trying to get her calories in her body to survive. And when I looked into it, I realized that my dream was performance. I wanted my daughter as an athlete. I wanted her to be able to go travel and go swimming and go to the beach and be with her friends and her immune system not break down. And so with no nutrition background, one day I said enough is enough, and we decided in one that we're going to build our own meal replacement shakes. And we saw millions of other people suffering the same thing, and it just was,
What sort of background did both of you have to be able to devise the right recipe, or was there none?
Yeah, you know, in America, I think we're in a place where the small guy with an idea and a story and has the inspiration can get it done. And we had friends that we had heard of that were starting the movements in California of small organic companies, and they just had the same exact situation as us, not for Kate, but they had something they needed to get done, and they created a better chocolate or a better coffee, or they created a better company. And 15, 20 years ago, the big corporations controlled everything, and now there's a distrust enough for the small guy to emerge. For me, it was as simple as, I don't create a formula that works, Kate's going to die. So as a plane crash survivor and all the things that I had faced, this was a loss I couldn't go through. So what you do, I think, is no different from any entrepreneur. You decide, if you don't have the skill set to do it, then you better have the personality and the salesmanship to get the best people in the world to join you. Mm. And so that is the key of, you know, I think I was reading an article on the way out here about Tesla and the CEO of Tesla, and he couldn't do anything. He built a rocket, and they said, well, what can you do to build the rockets and do all these things? And he really had no clue. But what he knew how to do was bring in the people in all facets to...
And
to
sell the idea.
That's correct. Mm. But before it became an idea to give to the masses, we had to create it in our blender, and that was pretty basic. Kate was sick from dairy, which is, unless you're a supreme athlete, most of us shouldn't be. If you look at the main ingredient of dairy, it's casein. Casein's the main ingredient in glue. So if you're not active and you're not running around, we're finding out through the China study and all these things that most of us don't really need dairy after a certain age. And so the first option was get rid of dairy, get the plant-based things in the system, and then
I want to come back and talk about the makeup and all of the health benefits of these meal replacements, because it's extraordinary what you've been able to achieve, and we'll continue a discussion about edible flowers as well. You're here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, 13 minutes past 1.
I've missed my favorite show on Joy. What do I do? What do I do?
Podcasters to battle!
Joy podcasters fight on tirelessly to bring you the best bits of every show. So if you've missed something recently on Joy, don't worry. Our podcasters have your back. Head to joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab, or look us up on iTunes. Podcasters on Joy 94.9, fighting tirelessly for your listening pleasure.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are on Joy 94.9, 14 and a half minutes past 1 o'clock. We are talking about things that are good for you, I think, and things that make you happy. Lauren Richardson is here. She grows edible flowers. You may have seen them sort of popping up everywhere and on everything of late. Is it mostly nasturtiums?
No, that's a whole range of edible flowers. So, no, nasturtiums are probably one that most people are familiar with because mm-hmm. they grow them in the garden.
And they're brightly coloured. And,
yeah, and they probably had them in their salads growing up. And they're a great complement. Their spicy flavour is a fantastic complement to salads and savoury dishes.
So what are some of the other flowers we eat?
Well, roses are very popular. Obviously, in Middle Eastern cuisine, they've been around for a very long time with rose water flavouring. Turkish delight comes from the flavour of roses. Calendula and marigolds are other flowers that are commonly used in salads, but now what's becoming quite popular are a little flower called Viola, which is
like
all
a little
these
baby
flowers,
violet almost.
Kind of like a violet. Yeah. It's got a beautiful flavour and it's just got an attractive little face.
Flowers have faces.
That's the Viola.
Very, very hard for radio to show people what that looks like.
But I see those all the time. And since I've been here, the Violas, I see those all the time.
Has this idea of eating flowers, Richard Laver, caught on in the United States? Or?
Well, it's interesting talking to Lauren in the hallway. She's saying a lot of the growers are in California.
Which is where you live.
Yeah, the whole health industry really comes out of California. And but we're slow to implement things.
Is that because people have to look so good down on Venice Beach? And
yeah, I don't understand. I don't get what it is about. I think, the wild west of the cowboys going out west. And in California, there's no class system. No one cares where you come from. No one cares the education or anyone can be anything. Whereas
or what
on the
side
east,
of a river or train track you grew up
that's
on.
That's right. Mm. There's a quality of a beautiful thing of, guys, I believe if you're going to raise a lot of money, you should be wearing a suit and tie. But these kids, these millennials, they're like the hope of our generation. They're just so hopeful, and they decide, I don't believe that. I'm going to make up the rules myself. I don't trust.
And I'm going to dress in flip flops and a pair of board shorts and go and make.
That's right.
$1 billion.
I'm going to go do this, and they don't have anything. They're very into taking risk, and but implementing some of these things that we make up, somehow I think it's slower. Like for the edible flower, we hear about it, but you see it all in the dishes in Sydney. I'm in Sydney and I'm seeing all these edible flowers that are wonderful all over. So it's cool to see Lauren be a part of that.
Do you identify as an entrepreneur?
Oh, I'm 100% entrepreneur, yeah.
Did you always have an entrepreneurial spirit? Obviously competitive from playing professional tennis, and with a name like Laver and like I said in Melbourne, there's a wonderful sort of association with Melbourne for you because of your uncle. But you played professional sport. Have you always been competitive, and does that move across into business for you?
Well, look, when the Rocket won the Grand Slam in 69, he immigrated my whole family.
I was going to say,
US.
You wouldn't have been old enough.
No, but we came back to have me born for 2 weeks. That's right. Right. 73, I was born, 42 years old. We came back here, but Ian, my father, built the biggest tennis club in the world in Florida. So my whole family had an affinity for doing big things. And I think when I met Michelle, I told her that I had a hunger, a desire to be an entrepreneur. So before Kate Farms, I was one of those guys that just tried to change industry, tried to do things, failed a lot, won a couple times.
Did he surprise you with his drive?
No, I recognized his drive right from the beginning. So it was...
Was that part of the attraction?
Yeah, because... it's attractive to see somebody who just loves life and loves people and wants to just put it all on the line for others.
Well, also, too, I think this is the plane crash was someone they asked me yesterday in Sydney, and it really hit me because I didn't understand. Was the plane crash taught me that I had already lost everything. 137 people died. My dad died next to me on the plane. Everyone in my row, died. The pilot to mushroom cloud explosion. I flew out of the plane 300 miles an hour. Landed in 2 feet of mud and water. Broke my neck. When you go through that, I don't think you have anything else to lose.
No, it's true. And was it not wearing a seatbelt that sort of kind of saved your life?
Yeah, I mean, the FAA said that they came out with a statement recently that said that where I was sitting, it was impossible to survive because I was sitting at the fuel line. So when it exploded, I had no seatbelt on and I flew out of the plane. Mm-hmm. But to even fly through an explosion like that, napalm explosion, and live, but it created fearlessness, that's for sure.
Do you have physical scars or are they only psychological?
There's certainly, if you talk to my wife, she likes to tell people that I didn't walk away. And, you know, I certainly have psychological scars from it. Physically broke my neck, burned, but I healed. I was 12. So I was 31 children were on the plane. I was the only one that lived. So, but by the time I met my wife, I don't know if you guys, any of your listeners ever saw the movie Tin Cup. I was living in Palm Springs in a hotel, teaching tennis to anyone, was a washed up tennis pro at 30 years old, was emotionally just a mess, and she kind of saved my life.
That's a big call, Michelle.
Thank you.
How do you wear that sort of praise?
Oh, well, it's sweet. It's very sweet. But no, the point is that Richard and I, since the day we met 13 years ago, we've always done things together, and we've always tried our hardest. And when we had Katie, who her and I almost died in childbirth, and we found out she had cerebral palsy, and she was given some, I won't name the products, but some products to live off of. And we're like, no way is she going to be on this for the rest of her life. We need something better. And that's how Kate Farms happened.
I want to come back and talk about the better thing. Lauren, do you identify as an entrepreneur?
Honestly, no.
But there is clearly
drive and spirit that's obviously.
But clearly, you do to be a self-employed person in this.
You have to have a surviving business. I think I've learnt to become an entrepreneur. I would say, but it's not something that has become inherently.
Wasn't there in your DNA
absolutely
beforehand?
Absolutely not.
Mm. Well, I love the entrepreneurs that never thought they had it in them. And like, there's born entrepreneurs that are doing the wrong thing, and they should be entrepreneurs. Like, if you get fired 5 or 6 times, and your kids are getting fired, don't think they're hopeless. Tell them they should probably be an entrepreneur. I mean, a lot of the best entrepreneurs can't work for anyone. They'd be kicked out of the studio in a heartbeat. Be like, first day, look, man, you think you're running your own thing, you can't fall in line, you're out of here. But and then there's a lot of terrific entrepreneurs that didn't know that they had the spirit to do it, and then they find that spirit and they change the world.
Yeah. Steve Jobs is, I think, a very fine example of that. You know, he was not academic. He wasn't. He just had ideas and.
Oh, well,
you had to screw people over a little bit.
Hold on. Well, you got to make a real point that you said that, Pete, is that in the United States right now, if you look at where they're going to look for these next generation entrepreneurs, these business schools, they're not going in private equity groups. They're not going to Stanford and Harvard anymore. You know where they're going to. They're going to these artists where all the artists are, because at the end of the day now, the people that are changing the world, the millennials, all the people are the poets and the artists, the rebels, the outsiders, the underdogs. These are people that said, I don't want to be a business person. That's boring. But now when they see Steve Jobs and they see these things, that these guys are the greatest artists of all time, they're writing Picassos, they're like Steve Wynn building these hotels, and it's a way for them to express themselves in the world. All of a sudden these kids are going, I don't want to start painting. I don't want to be on the piano. I want to go change the world through business.
Exactly.
And it's kind of cool that you brought that up, because this is where America is going right now, is that we're
and where America goes, we generally follow.
Why?
Yeah, you shouldn't.
In one way or another, we do. The influence of the United States, the cultural influences that we follow, tend to predominantly come from UK from the US. Even though the UK is our predominant cultural heritage,
right.
We've always looked to the US for the way that we follow culture, pop culture. I think it's a nice, healthy mix, perhaps, of the UK and the US.
I wonder what the Australians think about Michelle's shaking her head about, you know, the Donald Trumps and all the things that are going on in America.
We are just so pleased for the comedy fodder, because it gives us John Oliver, it gives us
it's comedy,
you know,
for me
all
too.
Of these guys that just rip the mick out of. How Donald Trump can be,
I don't know,
optimistic that he will be president of the United States. I probably said the same thing when Reagan became president.
Yeah. I mean, it's a dangerous topic, isn't
and
it?
And Kanye West has
I know. I mean, I think that was
a bong moment at the end of that award show, where he just got a bit carried away with his own self-importance.
Well, I just think Americans are, you know, when I come here and I see how educated and get the cabby drivers and the Uber drivers. I talk to them, and they're like, they're so up on current affairs. And I look, and they know about America. We don't know about anything going on in this country. And it's a sort of a commentary on the fact that, yeah, we're leading in a lot of ways, which is one of the beautiful things about America.
But America, for a very long time, there's so many Americans that don't own a passport. It's a very insular place.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I know people who've never left the state of Kansas or Missouri or Texas because that's all that exists. So it's very insular, whereas we've always traveled. We've always looked to the rest of the world.
And always known current affairs and always had that education. It's as great as America can be, it's quite tragic in those other ways of understanding the world and understanding how we're viewed and how we're seen and the hopes and dreams for the world for America. They really want us to get our act together.
Well, yes, because we are following, and we do follow. I particularly follow politics, and I find this race and the guy that's running against Hillary Clinton for the Democratic nomination, I think is a bolt out of nowhere. Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders. Yeah.
I like Bernie.
He's catching fire.
He is, and he could very well take that Democratic nomination, and all of a sudden Hillary Clinton, who was a shoo-in, you could have bet your house on the fact that she was going to be the first female president of the United States, may not, in fact, be what we're expecting.
So you can't be branded anymore as a liar or politically safe. See, it's like it's in America, you got to be seen now as, no matter what, as you shoot to tell the truth. It's like almost like Australians, you know, they're suspicious in nature, and you know, when they hear the whole thing, but if you talk straight to them and you tell them, they're almost like that better than, you know, they don't want to be
BS. we don't want you to piss us around, no way. And this has nothing to do with edible
foods.
With whole food nutrition, which we'll take another quick break. We might reset and come back and actually start to have those discussions about what it is that you do rather than how it is that we all think. You are here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, where it's almost 27 minutes past one.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Anna De Silva, and you're listening to Cravings with Pete Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are, and it's 29 minutes past one on what has become a little bit of a gloomy Saturday, 27 outside, hitting for top of 28 degrees Celsius. It's nice and warm. My guests, Lauren Richardson, is here. She grows edible flowers, which you started doing 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Has it made you any money yet?
Hasn't made me any money. What an interesting question. When you mentioned before about, you know, talking about being an entrepreneur and do I consider myself an entrepreneur? I guess you can, like, you know, what is an entrepreneur? Someone who's inspired by ideas and motivation and for a product that they love. And so in terms of your question, have I made any money? All my money's gone back into my business, so we're constantly expanding.
Which is kind of how it happens,
new products,
though.
Yeah. Welcome, we're growing
welcome to the business.
Time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
That other voice you can
Am I ready to retire? I think I need a few more years yet.
Yes. Well, are you adding to your brood?
Oh, yes, I am.
Yes, it's always a difficult question to ask. But my other guest is Richard Laver. He is, and with his wife Michelle, created Kate Farms, which is a meal replacement drink. It's not something that is meal replacement for the sake of weight loss.
No.
It's meal replacement for the sake of keeping yourself or somebody very close to you alive.
Well, that's how it started. But like we were talking about in a break, that we've been featured in the Super Bowl for the last 2 years. We have 7 NFL teams. So it started as a replacement to, if you can't sit down and have a beautiful broccoli dinner with all these vegetables, then we've created a superfood delivery system that can give you the nutrition and the taste and the whole thing, which took a couple of years to develop. We just didn't see it going to pop culture, to a lot of the celebrities and to the football teams, and that's
college
just
students.
A blessing. But it makes sense, right? Yeah. I mean, we're all trying to bridge our meals, because if we can't, we're on the run. All of us are on the go.
On the go.
Yep.
We're on the go. And then talk about that, up and go. That's an Australian little brand here, right?
Yeah, which is full of sugar not much else.
We've come here to try to give another option.
Try us out as another option.
Give an option for your kids. A lot of the parents love it because they they're able to get ingredients down their children that at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old that they don't normally eat. So it's and they think it's just a beautiful chocolate vanilla coffee milkshake, and there's no aftertaste, so it's taken off.
I want to talk about its structure. So it's 100% organic, it's 100% natural, soy-free, dairy-free, gluten-free. So if somebody has trouble with lactose or gluten or phytoestrogens or whatever that are in their body, it's non-GMO, hyperallergenic, vegan, full of plant proteins, and has 21 superfoods.
That's a lot of color.
It is. This is a very long time.
Next, we'll add some flowers. But
yeah, when you're
flowers.
Yeah, maybe we'll look at the edible flowers. But when you're a small guy, you got to call out what you got, because you know we were a small company, we weren't a big corporation. So the number one thing that Australians or people when we've come here to really help. Is the hypoallergenic, because the FDA, when they grant us hypoallergenic, that means almost nobody can say that. I mean, actually, there's almost no drinks in the world that can say that as far as meal replacements, because what you're saying is nobody can get sick on your drink. And when you make a claim like that and you're the head of a company, then you better deliver. So the bottom line is that in 3 years of business, we had zero allergen attacks. We have no nuts, dairy, none of the things
zero
that...
Zero complaints, yeah.
Zero complaints, and so it's you know,
we feed it to our daughter five times a day.
That's what we got the credibility for. Was Kate's entire diet consists of this drink, so she's
and looking at images of Kate now at 9 compared to I haven't seen the images of her at 5, but I'm trying to imagine she would have been skeletal.
Well, she was thin, and her hair was thinning. Just like if you're not eating well every day.
She's, in hospital.
If it was like if you were feeding your children McDonald's five times a day, how healthy would you be? Not very healthy. No.
She had bottle rot, she had GERD, throwing up every day. Yeah. Couldn't, if I pushed her, because you know me as an athlete, I pushed her to go to life and live life, and then she would get sick. And there was a part of her that was crying out to us that she wanted to live a better life. And so the question I asked myself was, why is it that our sickest people in senior citizen homes or hospitals, why is it that they get the worst nutrition, and guys like me get to go to Bondi Beach and eat organic everything? Why shouldn't our weakest people get the best?
You're singing to singing to the choir here. My mother is in home. My mother has dementia, and you know, my mother is on some meal replacement stuff because she's getting to the point where she can't swallow.
Okay.
So this sort of thing, it would be incredible for her wellness.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible for her wellness. And I, you know, I don't say that. It's just the founder and trying to get what I just heard of a term called tall poppy. But I mean that.
No,
you
we'll
know,
cut you down.
I mean, the Australians, the media company saying, oh, you watch off how you come off, they're going to cut you down. Yeah. But I just be who I am. I tell you that if you do have someone that's suffering, it's a good idea to get them our nutrition.
A question from Steve, who is listening somewhere. Steve, thank you for your question. Hi, guys. Would the product be okay for people with HIV/AIDS?
Yes, it would be fantastic.
Because, go ahead.
Michelle.
Sorry. It's good for anybody, really. Mm-hmm. Anybody can drink it. But especially if you're compromised in any way with any sickness, cancer patients, love us, anybody going through... You know, any type of hardship like that, with your body
really,
compromised.
It's because a lot of the condition of HIV is you're feeling sick to your stomach, the foods, the smells, all this stuff. So a lot of cancer, what Michelle's saying, is a lot of them love it because they can keep it down. And arguably, again, we never thought this would happen. We think Kate Farms, our branding agency that did Starbucks as our new brand, they said, you're not really a nutrition company. You're a hope and dignity company. Mm. You know, people... we're all not guaranteed that we're going to be well. I mean, for God's sakes, we should be supporting companies that create great products so that when we're sick, we can have the hope and dignity and feel better. So we can, you know, and just to sit there and eat those mashed potatoes with just god-awful and, you know, a nice, beautiful shake that gives you all the energy and everything you need. And to be honest, we're here to help. I would love to be back in America with my daughter, Kate. Our goal
is to get
everyone. Thank you for your question.
Yes, thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Stephen.
We've answered that for you. It's a resounding yes.
Yes. Sorry if I said so many words, Pete.
No. It's perfect. I'm sort of... the other thing that interests me here, there are a lot of people I know that suffer from celiac, from Crohn's disease.
Sure.
we're getting sicker.
Yep.
And yes. I think we're getting sicker because of processed foods. I want to go back to something you said before. We're time poor. We rely really heavily on something we can grab in the street or on our way past somewhere. Lauren's sitting there going, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
A lot of us don't have time to cook a piece of protein or steam some protein and have a pile of vegetables and stuff. Yeah. Like that. We simply don't have time. So
yeah.
We're getting sicker as a global population.
Don't you think that
that we should slow down and all of us take accountability. Like, for instance, this Joe guy that's big in America, the Australian juicing guy.
Ah, I've had him on this show about 3 months ago.
I mean, he changed American culture and the fact that until the Biggest Loser in these shows and this Joe, we didn't realize that you could be just all messed up and you think you're going to live that way the rest of your life, and we can literally completely change our lives. So my argument
through
now
what
is,
we eat,
yeah,
and I mean, or ingest, right? With the flowers,
yeah,
I mean, have you found that with your flowers and changing people's lives? Really.
I mean, a presentation of the flowers on the plate. Why we should get back? I don't care what kind of time we say we don't have. We should all get back to the start, like we were saying, and say, hey. You know, let's get rid of this industrial food, and let's take the time to eat. And even if it's only once a day, let's eat real food. Let's take care of each other. I mean, all the other stuff that we're doing and this progress and all this life and making money is important in America right now. It's not driving a Bentley means nothing. It's about all of a sudden everyone's going real wealth.
Mm.
Is health.
So people with no money,
I trust you've got a little copyright on that statement.
Real wealth is health.
Yeah. Lauren, do you find, since you're growing something, do you find you've changed the way that you eat? And are you growing other little bits and pieces in the garden that you're eating because you're in the garden?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a amazing place to explore different foods that we had no idea that you could eat before. And so this trend of foraging and which is, I don't know if it's popular in the US, but
you've got some incredible chefs doing that over there, that foraging stuff.
Oh yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Different weeds and Australian native foods that we can now eat. Just finding and seeing the produce in my garden compared to what it looks like on the supermarket shelf often.
Supermarket food isn't real food. It's particularly fruit and vegetables. So
pizza, right. That's right.
You go into a supermarket and it's waxed. It's been grown specifically.
Exactly.
If it's not an A grade and looks perfect, and you know, apples can sit in cold storage for 6 months with wax on them because we want them to look perfect.
Yeah, no fruit or vegetable tastes better than that comes out of
your garden.
Well,
exactly.
You know, you can have fun with it. Like, I think it's cool as Michelle. You know, she takes turns off all the candle, puts the candles on, turns off the TV, turns off the radio, turns off all the computers, food from the ground. And we go back to 100 years ago and just everyone getting around and talking and pouring, you know, some of the guests pouring wine. And it's all part of getting rid of this modernization, getting back to the old, getting back to the way it was, man.
So I want to, Lauren, you're going to sort of get where I'm going with this. There is a very well-known Australian chef, a bit of a celebrity chef, if we can use that oxymoronic term, who has gone, sort of become a paleo activist to the point where he actually doesn't look very well. And there's a whole bunch of people saying, oh, well, he's gone a little crazy, he's lost his marbles because he is such an activist for paleo. But I think there is a valid point that you're both making, or three of you are making, when you're taking something that you've grown, it's already invested with a sense of care and love.
Mm. That's right.
And then you're putting it into your body, which we should be taking care of and loving, which I clearly don't because I drink too much and I eat too much. it's got to be good for you. There's got to be putting everything in a Nutribullet and juicing it or blitzing it is probably still not the best thing for us because we're not getting the tangible enjoyment of eating.
Yeah. I agree. I think foods in the most natural state possible are obviously the best. Mm.
Well, the paleo,
if you can't do that, then you know.
Well, the
one of your drinks is the perfect way to go.
Well, you know, the paleos and the plant-based people are both, you know, if you take it down, the paleo and the plant-based people are trying to say the same thing. They both agree on one thing, which is vegetables and fruits from its most natural source. One says no meat, the other says eat tons of meat. But in the middle of all that, between the paleo and the plant-based people, is they want you to consume 80-90% of food from the earth, from the ground. So they should agree on all that stuff and say that we disagree on the 10% or the 15%. But if you follow 80% of the rule of either one of these diets, you're going to do pretty well.
And we get told exercise, yeah, balance, all of those things that make common sense. We'll be back very shortly, a quick announcement, and we'll return to continue this discussion, which is going absolutely nowhere near I intended it to be, but is fascinating just the same. You're on Cravings, you're on Joy 94.9, 18 minutes to 2.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
G'day, I'm Pete Evans, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are on Joy 94.9. Somebody I may have been just talking about paleo activists and nutbags, that, of course, Pete Evans. In my studio, Richard and Michelle Labour here, all the way from the US. We'll go back to a plane discussion in a second, and Lauren Richardson has come all the way from Flemington, your farm is at Glen Lyon.
I live in Flemington, but my farm is on my parents' property in Glen Lyon.
How many people work the farm?
It's so seasonal. It's such a seasonal business. So in the height of summer, I have about 7 people helping me, as mm-hmm. well as work labour that I solicit from my family.
Which is the best labour to solicit because it doesn't cost anything.
Exactly.
That's right.
So, yeah, I've got a lot of support down there.
That's great.
Yeah,
and,
but
and
we're
do you physically
expanding
get
as well,
out and
so.
Put gloves on and get on your hands and knees
Absolutely.
And pull crap out of the ground?
Yeah. And, you know, one of the, I guess, reasons why we've moved away from organic farming is because of how labour intensive it really is and the restrictions that it does create in terms of producing a product for mass consumption. Mm. So, yes, it's fantastic to be as natural and organic as possible, but on a very large scale, it's very difficult to achieve, to be completely 100% purely organic.
Well, it's an interesting question because you guys are on a large scale. What size of production do you have for?
Well, we're tripling. I mean, we're a multi-million-dollar business. Obviously, it's something that we didn't plan on.
Yes.
It's David versus Goliath in the greatest sense. Is we're still a very small company that is able to done big things. But when we're tripling, we're doubling production every several months. Can't get into the exact numbers, but we've gone to pretty commercial plant and making a lot of drinks. So we're looking at our supply side and paying attention to it. And, you know, our gamble was we'll source the greatest ingredients for Kate and the consumer will pay a little bit more for us than they're going to pay for somebody else.
But they know what they're getting.
That's right.
Yeah.
And is it difficult, and it's a question for all three of you, is it difficult for relying on suppliers who are providing you with a part of a contingent or a portion of your product to get it right on your behalf?
Well, you vet them, obviously, and then it's really funny. The leaders in our business are a small cult of people that are we went back on the rebels and the people that are really trying to create beautiful companies and small guys and they flush out a lot of it, and their demand for their products creates these guys to behave and get all the best, and so and we keep an extreme eye on everything, and we have multiple sources to in case
something falls over there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hurricane down south and what knocks out.
You
the
never know, right? I mean, there's a lot of big companies as well that don't like us around.
Mm.
You know, and the message to them is, the small guys, we're going nowhere. The world trusts when. People that don't that are long shots and underdogs that are truthful, they're not so trusting of the big corporations. And so I think that the best thing for them to do is realize that we're going nowhere. We're going to be controlling food probably in the next 15-20 years and giving the people the best of the best. Might as well join us in whatever endeavors mm-hmm. that we're doing, because you know we could use their help too. So, you know,
indeed,
get to
and
the table.
You can work together. Lauren, do you find because you obviously rely on suppliers for seed-based stuff,
yep.
for fertilizer,
yep.
for that sort of gear. Yep. So are you as stringent with them?
I'm not certified organic.
Right.
I practice organic farming as much as I possibly can,
mm-hmm.
but it's on the scale that I'm doing it currently, it's very, very labor intensive until I reach a maximum, I don't know, a critical level.
Critical mass.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, absolutely. I have to be very careful with what I use and who I get it from. And that's one of the things at the moment is, you know, everything has to be have that certification because there's a lot of misadvertising in terms of organic products.
There's a lot of people talking a lot of crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but not Australians have a reputation around the world for being real about all that stuff. That's why the Chinese bought the Swiss vitamin company because they do keep you guys do keep it real and you do suss out the suspicious Australians do the you know vetting and making sure. And there's a I think Australians do a great job. There's a lot of truth in the organic world here. And the Canadians, same thing. I think it's a Commonwealth thing, maybe. I don't know, but leaders. You guys are leaders.
They're all descended from the British. And the one thing the British do is stand in a queue and moan about how long it's taking.
That's right.
I want to talk a little bit about Kate and how she's doing, and obviously she's the impetus for your business. She's why you created the business. How is she going?
She's very healthy as she can be. Mm. 9-year-old little girl. She goes to school. She has friends. Physically, she's doing as much as she possibly can, and she's gained a lot of weight. Not unhealthy weight, because I could have just given her ice cream all day long and she could have gained.
All day. Yeah, exactly.
So she's
Kate's never been sick since we feed her the formula. She's never been sick other than two colds. It's the truth. When you start a company, you hope that her health standard holds up because you're claiming that her wellness is because of your formula.
Yeah.
And Kate's had two common colds. Nothing since. Her immune system's rock solid in our family, probably the strongest of our five children. And I think that that's the miracle of Kate
she's a living example of how
she's a great ambassador for what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, I mean she exceeded all of our. You know, one of the things I want to tell about that gentleman that called earlier was Steve. Was it Steven?
Steve.
Mm-hmm. Steve.
Yep.
Well, you know, the communities like the HIV or communities like Kate Farms, cerebral palsy, is that we think about the individual, but it's a cycle. You know, Stephen's family, right? They're suffering. They want their son to do well. You know, when Katie was sick, the other four children are sick. When the other four children are sick, mom and dad aren't happy. 90% of special needs parents divorce. This whole cycle, and so when you disrupt, and create a new cycle of hope, everyone gets well.
So that's a beauty. Have your other kids come after Katie or before?
No, Katie is our youngest.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's 9 and everybody else is 18 on up to 23.
So as you've created this mm-hmm. product mm-hmm. and given it to Katie, are the rest of the family on it?
Oh yeah. So my daughter who's at university, she drinks it every day, and I know she's okay because she has a complete at least once or twice a day.
Her skin looks totally different when Michelle knows how she looks by she knows if she's drinking complete or not.
And then my our son works for us, and he's a big complete advocate, gives it to all his friends. Yeah, everybody loves it.
So. Yeah, the whole family got Kate's wellness, got hope, and then the doctors got hope because the doctors see all these people coming in going, I can't eat, I'm losing weight, I can't take these dairy formulas, these chemicals. And then the doctors feel like, hey, they got a solution. So the cycle is a hopeful cycle for everybody. It's a happy cycle for everybody.
Lauren, are you inspired by this story?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's amazing. I didn't know any of it until I came in here, and just your passion for your product and having the reason for why you're doing it.
Well, I want to go home and start growing some organic flowers.
Well, yeah, and that's one thing about the edible flowers. You know, tell the consumers out there, I see it, eat the flowers on the plate. Sometimes you think they're garnishes. People may think they're garnishes.
I'm going to talk from a chef's perspective now. There is no chef in their right mind who will put anything on the plate that you cannot eat.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The only exception to that will be like a bamboo skewer or a metal skewer that's holding you know, a nice big healthy veggie burger
that's
together.
Good to know.
Or but everything that goes on your plate, you should be. It's one of the things we learn as chefs. You should be able to eat. That's do not put anything on the plate that you can't eat.
But they too do taste beautiful. The flowers they do. They, I mean, like you get that parsley, and then you get that little.
Well,
that
I had
flower,
the violet flowers the other day on my chicken.
Yeah, remember?
And
yeah.
I was the most beautiful plate of food I've ever had, and it was covered in flowers.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow.
And there's a movement away from just being a garnish. I mean, they've been used as a flavor ingredient for a long time, and just infusing those flavors to get them out of the flour and really into the meal and being more than just a garnish is kind of what we're seeing happening, and it was what historically they've been used for as well.
Because I don't think we know enough about the historical use of these things. We hear rose water, we hear something, and it doesn't quite commute that this is the roses that grow in our garden.
Exactly.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I believe you can take a rose petal and dust it with, sugar, and freeze it, and then you eat it like a crispy little treat out of the freezer.
I've never seen it, heard of it frozen, but yeah, sugar-coated.
You're going to inspire a new company to come up. Watch out. You start talking about that, there's some guy going, that's the next idea.
Yeah, and I'm going to eat them in a bag, and they're going to be out of the freezer, and they're going to be convenience, and all of a sudden this whole discussion has gone out the window because it will need a preservative, and everyone is eating sugar. A couple of quick messages, and we're coming back to wrap up and do what we have to do at the end of the program, which is our little plug section, if we can be so bold. It's 6 minutes to two on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. It is that time of the show where it's not so much plugging, but we give you information on where and when and how you can find things. So you guys are here for the Gluten Free Expo, which is happening at what we call Jeff Shed, a Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre, down on the river.
Yep.
Today is the only day of the 17 days that you are here that you're not working.
Yes. So we're excited, Pete. We went down and enjoyed ourselves before the show, and now we're ready to go out and have some fun.
Excellent. I have to introduce you to some fine Australian wines.
Yes, please.
They're better than Californian wines, I can promise you. I haven't consumed a lot of both. So Kate Farms Complete Ultimate Wellness Shake comes in three flavors and it is now available here. Probably the easiest way to look is to visit katefarms.com.au, which is obviously an Australian website. And you've signed an exclusive agreement with Govita.
Yeah, for three more months, we gave them an exclusive, and then we'll start to branch out to all the other stores.
Where is it likely that you will go? Are we going to find you in a 7-Eleven? Are we going to find you in a health food store?
Mostly health food stores, probably.
Once we start producing it here, we're going to produce it here in Australia. That's how committed I am.
Okay.
You know, we're going to be here four times the next year. We're going to make my family proud. And I think convenience is just not the natural place to go, but we're gambling that the organic buyer also wants to buy a convenience. So we'll go convenience as well because it is an on-the-go shake. It's ready to go. There's no powder or anything, and so
doesn't
I think you'll see us everywhere.
Shake and drink.
That's right.
People can also find out more about you guys. Just pop your name into Google. There's a great little YouTube there, and there's some wonderful pictures of your family as well. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Good luck for the rest of your trip.
Yeah.
And when you're back here for the rest of the year, for those next four trips, stay in touch. We'd love to have you back in.
Yeah, we had a blast with you.
Lauren, there is an event happening at Southgate. So the Southgate precinct on the Yarra River down here between sort of the opposite Flinders Street Station, basically, that involves edible flowers. And it's running from...
So it's from the 31st of October to the 8th of November. It's part of the Melbourne Food Good Food Month.
Yep.
And it's called Good Food Blooms. And so the restaurants at Southgate will be producing a range of dishes that are using the edible flowers and highlighting the edible flowers as part of the spring during that first week of the spring racing carnival. They're also doing a movable feast, so on three different days you can book in to have an entree, main dessert at three different restaurants.
Having done a movable feast down there, I cannot recommend it enough. They are fantastic.
Wow, those are fun. Huh?
Yeah, so it's like a progressive dinner, but with three great restaurants.
Yeah, each of the restaurants have used the flowers to come up with some creative dishes based around those ingredients.
Continued success to you, 5 years in. You've got Another 5 years to go before you hit the Millionaires Club.
is that the rule? Is it 10 years?
I don't know. I just make stuff up as I go along. Very little of it is based in fact.
Then I can
Joe is joining you for Escape Pod right now. She will actually take a travel. I have no idea where you're going, Joe, but no doubt it will be great fun as always. It's been a pleasure to have your company with me today. I will be back next Saturday, and we will do this all again. I have no idea what we'll be talking about, but no doubt it will be interesting as always. Thank you for your company. Have a very pleasant Saturday afternoon. I will hand you across to Joe right this second.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.